doesn't.
And I would giggle. I wouldn't even know what to say to him.
Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Mel Gelbart.
I'm horny, grab some lube and do it.
And Larry Mead.
I'm so butch.
Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch.
The only thing you can do by talking is ruin it.
Here's Nate.
Hi. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Nate Darling Show.
Yay.
Hey, it's Mel. Mel's back.
I'm
Hello,
back.
Mel.
I missed you.
We missed you, too. We had to have two people to fill your shoes.
Well, yeah.
Literally, we had to have a chick and a Jew.
Of course.
So, we managed to muddle through.
Chick-a-Jew, 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 chick. I'm a cappella.
You're nutty. All right, coming up tonight, we have a special guest. We have Arjun back from the Public Access Show and the band Wallpaper. Welcome,
Hello.
Sir.
Hello. Thank you for welcoming me.
Yeah.
Thank you for welcoming me.
Coming up, we have a gay boxer coming out of the closet. What are you going to do about it?
Is he here right now?
He is not.
To be fair, he's more of a pro slapper than a pro boxer.
Okay.
I can say that you can't.
I don't want to say that. We have a stripper who broke the groom.
Ugh.
And Jerry Sandusky had some words to say at his sentencing today.
They're fucking crazy. I can't hear myself.
You know, that's kind of a bonus. You don't really realize it, but it really is. No, I just turned you up a little bit.
Ooh, that's better.
There you go. So let's get right into it. Mel, you were out last week. You were in Oakland.
I've been very busy lately.
What was the highlight of your trip to Oakland?
We went and saw Slash.
Oh, how was your fellow Jew?
He was amazing. His new lineup is amazing. I knew every song. They played everything I wanted them to play and then some. They sounded great. They looked great. He, as usual, took his shirt off at the end, which made me very happy.
Did you make out at the concert?
No.
I feel like that's what people do at rock concerts.
No, we're serious music people. Like, I don't drink. I pay attention. I'm really into the music. Foxy Shazam opened for Slash. If you don't know Foxy Shazam, you should.
I don't.
Of course, Paul could not remember their name and kept calling them Roxy Giselle.
That's a pretty good name, too.
Yeah, Roxy Giselle.
Yes.
But they're, you know, even if you didn't like the music, the stage show that they put on is outrageous. And then, of course, Slash and Miles Kennedy and everybody just sounded awesome. It was good. They played Velvet Revolver stuff. They played Guns N' Roses stuff. They played stuff off of both of his albums. It was amazing. So I was very happy. And I saw Elvis Costello the week before, so it's just been a lot of music lately.
Excellent. Here's a little Foxy Shazam. You hypnotize me with your hips and thighs.
If it rhymes, it goes.
They have more energy than any band I've ever seen on stage. They never stop moving. They're so acrobatic and physical, and they're the weirdest looking bunch of people.
Oh.
Which I like. I mean, I like, you know, atypical bands that are sort of weird. They had a trumpet player who was very sinewy and very flexible. He would do a kick where one leg went in front really high, and then the back leg would come around behind and kick himself in the back of the head, basically.
You know, Larry couldn't even do that on the trampoline, I don't think.
False. I was awesome on the trampoline.
Did you kick yourself in the back of the head at any point?
No, but I did a flip.
And they have a keyboardist who's sort of terrifying looking, but amazing. And he crowd surfed with his keyboard so that the crowd was holding up him and his keyboard, and he was floating through the crowd playing.
Wow.
It was awesome. Everything about it was awesome.
If I recall, he kind of looks like a Spartan warrior, too, doesn't he, a little bit?
He's insane looking, and he makes these very scary faces. He's bald and has what I would describe as a very sort of typical, like, Middle Eastern, really thick, sexy beard. And
he has that Bin Laden beard that
the
chicks go for.
He has this really cool, like, Bin Laden beard, and he's bald, and he makes these big eyes, and he just looks terrifying, and he stands up on his keyboard, and he holds it over his head, and he played it like a guitar. It was nuts.
He has this really cool Bin Laden beard.
It was awesome. It was just a really good time, and it was really fun to just go do stuff with Paul. And of course, as usual, Paul snuck off at one point and came back with a concert t-shirt, because he always does that. So I got a cool Ramon style Slash shirt.
Hey, since you mentioned t-shirts, I have some t-shirts right here. And of course, I'll start out with this. Of course, is the original Nate Darling Show t-shirt, which we've all seen. This is in black, the original
classic.
One, it's the classic, the original logo and everything, and available on Zazzle.com, by the way. Just search Nate Darling Show
Zazzle.
But I also have, and I just got this today, the new Shield logo t-shirt.
Oh.
Which I think looks pretty snazzy.
It does look cool, and I like the color you chose.
It's sort of an olive color, which offsets the lime green and black of the of the logo. So it's a little bit harder edge look than the original.
That is badass.
It's cool. I'm very happy with the way it came out. And you can even feel the actual thing on there, Mel. It's not cheap.
No, it's nice.
You know, it actually feels like part of the shirt. And so that, and last night I was at Monday Night Raw, WWE Monday Night Raw.
Oh, my goodness.
In Sacramento. And as we were walking in, we got $10 off coupons for the merchandise. So that meant any shirt would have been like $15. So I could not resist getting my very own Sheamus Brogue Kick Hooligans t-shirt because I just had to.
Wow.
It was that or Daniel Bryan's t-shirt that says no, no, no on the front, but Nick and Ted both got that same t-shirt.
Did everybody get $10 off? Because I always wonder about that. If it's $10 off, why don't they just sell all this merchandise for $10 less and not waste their time?
Because there were conditions to it. And here were the conditions. You had to use it. You could only use it at Power Balance Pavilion, and you could only use it before 5 p.m. local time, which is before the TV taping. So the goal is to give you that discount so you will buy the t-shirt
and then wear it
for the TV for the live. It's not a TV taping, it's a live TV thing.
I know, I kept flipping by it on TV last night and thinking of you guys.
We were 10 feet away from the main camera.
Wow.
Basically straight across. If I looked to my left, about 10 feet over from me was the main camera guy with the main ring cam from up high.
How cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. So thank you to the WWE. Thank you to my friend Kristen, who got us the tickets, because the best tickets are the kind you don't have to pay for.
Heck yeah.
Always.
But we all bought something. That was the thing. Nick bought a t-shirt. Ted bought a t-shirt. Andy bought Nick a foam fist.
Oh, my.
A CM Punk foam fist.
What did Becca get? did she get her raw t-shirt?
She got a vegan tube top.
She got to go home with Ted.
Oh, there you go. I got to hang out with Ted this weekend.
There you go.
We Jewed it up at the Jewish Food Festival.
That exists? That
it was
sounds
super
awful.
Jewy. We ate knishes and blintzes together.
Oh, wow.
Is it actually a festival, or is it just one of your parents' houses?
No.
Yeah, that's really what
it's at Temple Beth Shalom, which is really close to my house, and they have food, and they have music. The one weird thing about the music, well, I'll get to that, and then they have vendors and arts and crafts.
It was gangster rap.
It was weird because they had a guy in full, like, Irish garb with a bagpipe. And I was very confused by that, but Ted said the bagpipe is the shofar of Ireland, which you would only get if you're a Jew. So the Jews that are listening are going, ha-ha.
Well, and there's a somewhat sizable Jewish community in Ireland. The mayor of Dublin was Jewish.
The mayor of Ireland?
I'm messing this up. The mayor of Dublin, like 10 years ago, was Jewish.
So I don't know. There was clearly a lot of non-Jews because I was wearing a shirt that had Hebrew on it. People kept coming up and asking me what it was, which I thought was really funny because I think any retard would have known what my shirt was,
well,
whether they
offensive.
Spoke Hebrew or not. So I was confused why people kept coming up and going, what is it? Because it was the Coke logo and it was phonetic Coca-Cola.
Oh.
A bunch of noobs.
Yeah.
So this ties back to what you were talking before. I have two fun facts about Slash.
Mm-hmm.
One, he's not Jewish. I'm sorry.
How dare you?
Two, but he's half black, which I didn't know. But two, he's also on the board of directors for the Greater Los Angeles Zoo.
Oh, I think I knew that.
Because he loves reptiles.
He does. He used to have lots of them. That's why his first band was Slash's Snake Pit.
Yeah.
This is
good fun.
This is an awesome remix.
And I got to hang out with Larry this weekend, which I never
Yay.
Do. Larry is like the ultimate, like, you know, rainbow unicorn. Like, he's hard to spot out in public.
It's true.
He's always out doing stuff, but we never hang out, and we got to have drinks this weekend.
We did.
It was fun.
If you've ever wondered what bagpipe music and Hava Nagila together
really
sound like.
Awkward. This sounds like a cultural fest where there's not enough room for performers to warm up.
Can you add like a Slash guitar solo on top of the
Yeah.
Thing?
Yeah.
And an a cappella group?
I mean, more likely you get accordion music at these things, but whatever.
Yeah.
This is the Red Hot Chili Pipers doing Smoke on the Water.
Oh my God, what a genius name.
This is what I learned from watching NBC during the Olympics. The Rockin' Bagpipers.
We did this with bells once, this song, with handbells.
Yeah, that's not as cool.
I love handbells.
But it's equally nerdy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it
Do you
is.
Know how hard it is to play the bagpipes?
It's incredibly hard.
Yeah, you have to balance. There's a college in Ohio, College of Worcester, where their marching band has bagpipes in it because they're very connected to their Scottish heritage. Mm-hmm. But if you play, you get a scholarship.
Mm. If you just learn how to play, you can get a scholarship.
Yeah, you have to show some, like, they do a test that gauges your proficiency, that, like, your ability to learn. And so, but, like, it's hard because you have to be able to have so much, and for women, it's really hard to have the pressure and keep rhythm.
And because they have boobs in the way.
It's true.
Yeah, that is problematic.
For they get some, like, lesbians that don't really have boobies.
There's plenty of straight, flat chicks.
How dare you?
There should seriously be, like, a lesbian, an all-lesbian bagpipe group.
You know, there probably is.
The Taco Pipers.
Oh.
What? Is that offensive?
I don't know. You'll have to ask some lesbians about that.
I want to text a lesbian.
So, Larry, I have a question for you then.
Yeah.
I saw on Facebook that you were on a phone call to Russia. What was up with that?
Oh, yeah. Well, so, okay.
Comrade.
So, I'm hopefully... Okay, when I was in London for the Olympics, I talked to people in the Russia House. Long story short, I'm in the process of becoming a sponsored volunteer for the Winter Olympics. And then there's like 8 billion hoops you have to jump through. And I've jumped through almost all of them. I have one remaining. And so I was calling to verify where my interview was and stuff like that. So it was confusing because I've been reporting to Moscow first and I need to figure out if that's true or not. And so I had to call, and the woman knew, the first woman I spoke with knew not much English. And so I had to use my very limited Russian skills to be able to communicate that I need someone in English, which I luckily was able to talk to her for like 15 minutes, like 15, 20 minutes. I was pretty happy. So I'm going to have a Skype thing, but like I'm at the final step, which
That's
is
exciting.
Pretty exciting. So it means I've passed all the tests. They like me. And I think if from what I could read, and it's hard because like Russians just think differently, like their logic patterns are different to me.
Yeah, they do.
So if it's true, I'm going to be I applied to assist with closing ceremonies and event production and event performance. So I think it'd be awesome to actually be in the closing ceremonies.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
Wouldn't it be fun?
Yeah.
How cool is that? And I learned a lot about Sochi, Russia, because they had a lot of like new information on like this portal thing you have to go into. So it looks pretty fun.
Wait. You went through a portal?
Yeah. Online on the World Wide Web. But for the first time ever, all ice-based Olympic events are going to be held in the same location. So like the ice hockey arena, the ice skating arena, curling, speed skating, and other stuff are all going to be at the Coastal Olympic Park. And then mountain-based sports are all going to have another Olympic park.
How do they do that? Because it seems like it's so many different types of surfaces to do.
It's
all
not
that.
The same arena. It's all different arenas, but in the same space.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
Because Olympics are really spread. Like, even in London, like, things are kind of, well, stuff was really kind of spread out. And so it'll be nice to have it all there. And so the nice thing about being sponsors is that I'll stay in Olympic Village, which will be pretty sweet. I'm waiting to get super excited until I really know everything's a go.
Sure, yeah. Of course.
Because, you know, but it'll be fun. So, but it was weird because you had to call them. Like, I literally called them, like, 12:30, 12:45. And it was very difficult how to figure out how to call Russia.
Yeah, I'm really intimidated by making international calls. Yeah, I find it scary.
Is it because it's expensive?
I just don't really understand all the numbers and stuff. Like, I wanted to call the hotel in Costa Rica, and I just had the travel agent do it. I got confused.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's scary.
Well, I realized I had left one very important detail of our vacation plans out. And so I was like, oh, shit. You know, we finish our 10 days, and then we have to go to a hotel, and we have a shuttle taking us to the hotel. But I hadn't actually coordinated the day or the time.
Oh, yeah, that's a problem.
I forgot that. I forgot that one little detail. Mm-hmm. I had arranged that there was going to be a shuttle. I just didn't actually communicate that, so I didn't know how to call the hotel and tell them when to come get us.
No, there you go. Now, Arjun, you are back from Southern California, correct, sir?
Yes, I've been... Well, let me see. What was my most recent... I lose track of time and space.
Yeah, I only know from Facebook
you're
that
like
you were
in a portal, if you
that
will.
you were in a rehearsal space in LA.
Yes.
And you were doing a gig in San Diego.
That's correct. Yes.
And I also know at some point you were in Rochester, New York, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, Rochester is
not a good place.
It's a very interesting place, but it was a cool show, that Rochester show. We played this radio festival for one of their their pop rock stations, and we're on the same bill as Gym Class Heroes and Carly Rae Jepsen and
Carly Rae Jepsen?
What? That's pretty big. Let me tell you about Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh,
here.
Please.
Is she a dirty, dirty girl?
Okay, well, this was our third time playing with Carly Rae Jepsen. And the first time I saw her, I was like, man, this 16-year-old girl is pretty good.
Yes, she is.
And then you realize that she's not 16.
No,
like,
she is not. That's one of the first things I looked up.
Yeah.
When I saw her,
how
I'm like,
she?
She's 26 or 27.
Oh.
Yeah, she's Canadian, Larry, so...
She won like the Canadian Idol or something like that, yeah. too.
Yeah, she's...
Didn't she... I thought she came like in third place or something.
I don't think she won. She was one of the, like, the finalists, but I don't know that she won.
I consider that a win.
That's
in
true.
The music world.
Is Canadian Idol really a real contest, or is it like a talent show at a bar? No offense to Canada.
It is... Yes, because you're never known to offend Canada.
They have 45 people in their entire country.
Oh, Larry...
Okay, this is perfect. Now, so you can, anyone who's heard the song knows how catchy it is.
Yeah, everybody's heard this song, I think.
My first time being introduced to the song was to hearing her playing it live, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. The second time, I was like, I am hooked on this song. I am going to be there when she is playing it, and it's going to be awesome. The third time, we were in our hotel, and I just couldn't stop singing it. And I mentioned to my my bandmate, like, man, it would be really awkward if we were singing it, and she like came around the corner.
Right.
Because we were all the musicians on that little festival were staying at the same hotel. So we don't really think that much of it. We go up to our hotel room. Me and Tom, the other bandmate, we're literally singing it. And I'm like, dude, we should probably be careful. We don't know who's next door.
It's true.
Like, we were really nervous and on edge. And then I heard the door open next door. And then like a girl answer and then close it. And I was like, oh, crap. I think she's actually next door. So, like, for the rest of the time at this festival, I was trying to figure out if she was actually next door. I knew that the people at the front desk didn't want to, like, they're not supposed to give out that kind of information. Yeah. Because, I mean, creepers like me would probably go stalk her.
Right.
Anyway, so I asked, hey, can you just tell me if she is not next door?
Because
if I knew that much, I could feel secure. So I asked, and they said... She was indeed not next door.
Oh.
So I was safe from a super awkward Carly Rae Jepsen.
Or they lied to you.
Or they lied to you to protect her. Because by saying that, no, she isn't, if they go, well, I can't say that, then you're like, aha, she is there.
You were right. I am totally an ass.
You know, the first time I heard this song was actually one of my friends posted it when she did it with The Roots and Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, yeah.
Backstage in a dressing room with like instruments. They're toys, essentially, that you would find like in an elementary school music class.
And it's like kazoos and bells.
Yeah. And
stuff.
It's all
rhythm sticks.
It's all acoustic. And she sounds exactly the same. Yeah, that's not going to happen with most female singers.
No, she's good. She has talent. And she has this really sweet dance move that she does where I'll just demonstrate it for you guys, even
Ooh,
though everyone
nice. Nice.
We'll do it play by play.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
He's standing up.
So it's kind of like this, all right? I'll wait for the chorus to kick in.
It's so cute.
Nice. It's like a sideways jog in place.
Yeah, a little bit of a jig.
With bounce.
And I think it's that little dance. It was so cute and so like young. It made me think that this is like
wow.
a kid.
Yeah.
But she's not, okay?
No.
She is not.
She is
you
fully.
You could date her.
She is fully legal.
Don't tell my girlfriend.
Date. You could do all sorts of things to her.
Oh, I won't tell your girlfriend, but you guys could be like a power couple.
Didn't you guys hear that there's like a, like, apparently she like had some photos leaked or stolen or something like that?
Really?
I did not.
Yeah.
Nudies?
In Canada?
Naughty ones.
Yeah, so did Hulk Hogan.
Ew.
Gross.
Oh, my God.
You should have written a note to her and put it, because you knew she was in the same hotel, and put it underneath the door of every single room in the hotel.
Just in case.
Just to be a super creeper, right?
Yeah, that wouldn't have been weird at all.
No.
And, you know, here's the other thing. Because of Carly Rae Jepsen, I now... I'm kind of into Owl City, which is really weird.
Yeah, because they did a song together, right?
This song here.
You love Christian electropop.
To get down tonight.
What? You have a pretty good voice there.
It is always a good time. It's not just this. I then realized that they do this song, too, which is incredibly infectious. I love this keyboard.
Do you know he recorded this in his parents' basement?
Where are you pulling these facts from? You just know so much.
No, for real. He's a... Well, he's not really a Christian artist. He's an artist...
I thought you were going to say he's crippled.
And so he likes pop music, but if you ever listen to his music, all has pretty good messages. And he recorded it in his parents' basement. And his parents kind of made fun of him, like, man, what are you doing down there? He's like, I think this is going to be a good record. And lo and behold.
Yeah, this is a really, yeah. really good song.
Well, I mean, with the equipment these days, pretty much anyone can make a home right. studio.
Yeah.
As long as you have the right, right. stuff. And
sure,
the,
you
and
can you can string together some stuff in your living room, do a podcast, whatever you want.
And sometimes, you know, you need to live at your parents' house so you can freaking knock out the jams.
Because he's from Minneapolis. He's some northern upper Midwest state.
Okay.
I think Minnesota.
I can hear that in his music a little bit. Let's listen.
It's almost Canadian.
Hold on. Can you hear it? Yeah, it's there.
What's really weird is out here in California, there aren't fireflies. So everybody in California is like, what the fuck is he singing about?
Aren't those things in the Disney movies?
Yeah, something? It's like, what is that? Yeah, this is a nice song and all, but it's not this.
No, this song, I think, is one of the best songs I've ever heard.
It is fucking best song ever.
Have you heard the new jam that came out recently?
I have not.
It's called Puke My Brains Out.
Yes.
Everybody's doing it. You know, I have a theory about that. My theory is that these people's terrible music is poisoning them.
That is an amazing theory.
Because no one has heard more Justin Bieber or Lady Gaga songs than they have.
That is so true.
Except for, like, teenage girls and gay dudes.
You know, it's weird that it happened within, like, a two-week period of each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's called karma. Yeah. It's either karma or Jesus is coming back. I think we should all sing the part about being best friends.
Why is this song so fucking catchy?
Because it's a great dance.
You are my fucking best friends. Seriously, it's like the best night ever. This song.
It's very clear that not everyone knows the words right now, so we can stop singing. It would have been a really great moment.
It would have been pretty sweet.
Speaking of would have been
great
moments.
The problem is I listen to this song when I'm like singing and dancing in the shower, so it's all distorted from the other room really loud. So I sort of make up some of my own words.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, here's a song that's easy to remember by wallpaper.
And I do rap my own rap part in the middle, just so you know. It's pretty awesome.
Improv.
I love this song.
Yeah, this seriously doesn't get as much love as some of the other wallpaper songs.
Really?
It's a really cool song, though.
We got to record this song at Abbey Roads, actually.
Nice.
Like about a year ago.
That's pretty sweet.
So yeah,
fun
little bit of wallpaper for everybody. So that's very cool. Is there some new wallpaper coming our way at any point soon?
There's an album that's it's being worked on right now.
Excellent.
There's a pretty big tour that we're planning at the moment. Ooh. That's going to be happening all around, hitting as many cities as we possibly can in the U.S.
Yes. Including Sacramento?
I can't say 100% right now, but I would say with a good amount of certainty that at some point this year, Sacramento will get its share of wallpaper.
Yay! Nice!
Yay!
Excellent.
And it's definitely been a while, too. I don't think we've played here forever.
Yeah, I don't recall the last time seeing a wallpaper show advertised here, so... Excellent. Very good news. Now, the other thing that you work on, and this is something equally to be proud of, but for different reasons, the public access show, you've just finished a 3D episode.
Yes, I have. And it is amazing.
I thought it was coming out much sooner. So, like, every gosh damn day, I would put on my stupid glasses and log on. I'm like, not ready yet. When is it fucking ready?
You know, that's what happened whenever I would work on it. And then I'd go to the bathroom and look at myself in the mirror. Like, why is it not done yet? I was spending so many nights and just evenings after work just trying to cram as much work as possible. It takes a long time to do.
Oh, God, yeah.
I was going to start sending you mean emails, but I didn't know if that would hurry you up at all.
It probably would have, because I would have been, damn, she's on my back.
I know.
Shoot.
I literally checked the freaking website, like, every day for, like, 3 weeks.
Well, thank you for those hits.
You're welcome.
And for people who don't know, what is the website?
The website is thepublicaccessshow.com. I also have a Facebook page, which you could probably figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I have like lots of like cool pictures and more sketches and playlists and stuff people can check out. All the videos are online, but you definitely need 3D glasses to enjoy the most recent episode, which I actually have been providing to people.
That's very,
yeah,
very
you
cool.
can order them right off the site for like 60 cents or something.
Yeah, just basically to pay for the shipping and the PayPal fee.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, oh, and again, next time you come, if you don't bring the shirts with your face on it, don't come.
Oh, I really should have brought them. Yeah, you can now also buy a shirt that has my face on it, and it's me
sick.
Eating a taco and a Viking helmet. I think we might have talked about it last time.
I think we did.
Want.
So that's very cool. That's some of the things that that Arjun is up to. So I want to make sure I get a lot of love in on that one. Now, speaking of bands I'll get to the band stuff in a second. So last night I went to see Monday Night Raw with Nick Pettigrew and Becca and Ted, who sat in for Mel last week. And we didn't really see all of this happening because from where we were, we couldn't really see. But police in Sacramento have now interviewed a WWE fan who, by the way, is a dick, who was punched in the face by CM Punk, who is the champion, during the live event last night. It occurred Monday Night Raw when Punk went into the crowd after a match. Actually, it was still during a match. TMZ, get it right, please. And several fans who were douches, you had people who were making the face like, eh, whatever, and then there were people who were, like, touching him and patting him on the back. Well, apparently there were some people that were, like, you know, bumping him in the kidneys and stuff like that. And this one guy comes down behind him and pushes the back of his head, not once, not twice, but about three times.
It almost looked like he forearmed him.
I think it was a push. I don't think he forearmed him, but he got him like in the upper back. So at a certain point, probably after telling him to stop it, because it looked like there was some sort of verbal interaction, CM Punk turned around and punched the guy in the face.
I would have too.
He completely punched him in the face. So now, and this is the stupidest thing. So the victim met with the police shortly after the incident. I'm not going to call him the victim. I'm going to call him the douche. So we'll call him that from now on. The sheriff's department says that the man didn't appear to have any major injuries that required medical attention. But later that night, he recontacted police and said he had developed a pain in his knees.
You know, the funny thing is I was at the gym before I come here and I was watching the news and two different stations covered the story. Mm-hmm. One said that the guy has now since said, like, he wasn't injured, he doesn't consider him a victim, and it's over. And then the other one said that he is deciding if he wants to contact a lawyer.
Yeah, well,
I'm sure people are telling him, like, oh, you'll get paid.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure that's what the whole deal is, because the WWE has money, and that's who they're suing. That's who they're going after. Sure. That, Power Balance Pavilion.
None of it makes, I mean, I'm sorry, and I know that you're really into wrestling, and I'm a dick about it, but
yeah, you are.
I see this the same as I see NASCAR. I think a large percentage of the population that goes are dumb rednecky types.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
no argument here.
It's not my crowd, and I just think the fact that they would put, I mean, they're performers. He's performing. Mm-hmm. He's a character in a performance, and to put him in the middle of a crowd of dumbass drunk rednecks and think that was safe and not have security and not plan for that was just stupid.
Well, yeah, the WWE security really dropped the ball on it, basically.
Yeah.
Because there should have been at least two security guards from WWE there that after the first time that person touched him to take that guy down. And
yeah.
there wasn't. Now, there's still some conjecture as to whether he went to the exact right point in the crowd or if security just didn't get there. But it all happened kind of quickly, but these things are all planned out the way everything goes.
He's just doing his job, and I watching the video, I actually felt bad for him. I mean, he kept like sort of brushing people off him and being like, "Don't stop!" Like he's working,
right? And he's in character as a heel, so
yeah.
He can't be like, "Hey, everybody, high five! How you doing?" You know, he's got to be, and he's having a confrontation with Mr. McMahon, the owner of the company. They've had a match. They're in the middle of a match, and so they're in, and this is the climactic moment of a 3-hour live broadcast when this is happening too. So
let me blow your guys' mind for a second.
Sure.
You mentioned he was in character. What if he never broke character?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
No, what if he like that
never.
Punch was actually in
character.
Like he, and that is just how sophisticated an actor he really is.
I'm on board with that.
Well, there was conjecture to begin with this morning when I first saw it that it was a work, that it was a plant in the audience and that it was set up. Because they've done things like that before where somebody will come out of the crowd and attack somebody and it's just another wrestler that's, you know.
It didn't look like no wrestler.
No. Yeah. This is just a...
Looked like a slightly balding redneck.
Yeah, it was some, you know, powder-looking motherfucker who shaved his head.
I'm just shocked that violence might occur at an event that's produced by an organization that glorifies and promotes violence.
It's staged theatrical violence, Larry.
I'm just shocked at it.
That would be like getting all.
For half the people that watch it, especially 9-year-old dudes who grow up thinking that's what you can do.
Well, this guy wasn't 9 years old, and that would be like, say, if something happened at Macbeth, if somebody got stabbed at Macbeth, going fucking Shakespeare, just glorifying violence.
Always kill someone.
I know.
You obviously, yes, exactly. You've not heard of the Macbeth defense?
The Macbeth defense.
Is that like, I could see a play starring Beck.
Yeah,
Beck is a Scientologist.
Beck and Moby.
Beck's a Scientologist.
That would be the weirdest play ever. Just Beck and Moby, just back and forth having a conversation.
That
would
be weird. The soundtrack might be okay.
No soundtrack.
Just a complete silence.
Complete. They just sort of stare at each other.
Communicating telepathically?
Yeah, sort of. That's how they do things. They might have Michael Stipe in there to be a little bit more, add a little bit of brooding to the mix, too. Anyway, speaking of people who are going to prison, Jerry Sandusky got sentenced.
Thank God.
Minimum 30 years in prison. He's 68, by the way, so...
that'll probably do it.
The earliest he'll get out is 98 years old. He could be in there up to 60 years if he makes it. But he did not go down without making a statement.
He is batshit crazy.
Sure he is. He gave a statement in which he denied the allegations, which isn't uncommon, and talked about his life in prison and the pain of being away from his family. Here's what he said. I've forgiven. I've been forgiven. I've comforted others. I've been comforted. I've been kissed by dogs. I've been bit by dogs. He said, I've conformed. I've also been different. I've been me. I've been loved. I've been hated. He sounds like Madonna. Really, honestly. If you told me Madonna said that, I'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, put a beat under it, and it is a Madonna song.
Yeah, I know. It's MDNA.
Make a song out of it, RJ.
I've been kissed.
It's just this craziest fucking thing. And he, I'm not going to read any more of it, but basically.
Oh, please, come on, just a little more.
He goes on, he blames the victim and said he was a drama-seeking, attention whore, and that everyone has been manipulated by them. He insulted the survivors' families.
Mm-hmm.
He called them all money grubber, like. It is literally, it's like, what the fuck?
He claims it's a whole conspiracy between the victim, Penn State, the state of Pennsylvania, the prosecutor, the courts, the lawyers, basically everybody. This guy is literally delusional.
I think when you have that kind of a major life trauma, like the reality setting in, I could see that causing kind of delusional repercussions.
Well, and research has shown
you gotta wrap your brain around it somehow, and sometimes your brain wraps in weird ways.
And child molesters authentically believe what they did was not wrong nor violent or offensive. They believe it was a beautiful sexual thing.
Speaking of which, on a totally unrelated note, does anybody ever watch Hoarders?
Yes.
That is really unrelated.
Did you watch last
night? Kidding.
Holy Jesus.
So there was a lady, talk about not getting reality. The guy was like, do you know why your house smells so bad? And she goes, like, mold and mildew. He's like, no, you have several hundred pounds of fecal matter in your house.
That'll do
She pooed and peed in a bucket, and when it was full, she'd put it in like an empty milk jug, close it, and leave it in there. There were 2 years worth in there.
No, that was 12 years worth of her
12
mother's.
12 years, yeah. So
hers,
it was all these different colored fermented,
hers, that was her
toxic
mother's.
Waste.
Hers, she pooped in a big bucket, and then she would scoop it out with a mug into a basin and then take it out to her front yard and dump it.
Oh, my goodness.
But she never got that any of that was wrong. At the end of the show, they wound up having to say she couldn't live alone.
Yeah.
She never got that pooping in a bucket was weird.
They had to wear biohazard suits to get it because it was so gross. And right at the final time, the time that final made the psychologist there snap and be like, this girl can't live by herself.
Our local hero, Dr. Robin Zazio.
She's from here?
She's a Sacramento doctor.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I want her to come do ACL so bad.
Me too.
We care, fuckhead.
So, but what was crazy is they're throwing out all this food.
I want to talk about vagina.
We just talked about fake wrestling.
I'm just going to keep punching Nate.
The psychologist is like, we have to throw out this food. And she's like, no, I want to get high one more time. And then she said she enjoyed eating food that had fecal matter on it.
Like, she's like, I've already been eating poop for 12 years. What's one more nightmare?
I want to get high one more time.
It's a condiment.
And the psychologist's face was so like, what the fuck did this bitch just say? And for a psychologist to read that on her face shows you how fucked up it clearly was.
It was the best.
This makes me want to take a shower.
Yes.
The only episode worse was a lady who had pooped in her toilet that stopped working, so it had about 3 feet of poop mounded up out of it like an anthill.
Yes.
That one was better.
It literally is one of those things you watch, and it makes you instantly, A, feel better about yourself, and at the same time, be convinced anytime anything brushes on you, it's a bug, and it's disgusting. Like, even talking about it kind of makes me itchy.
Maybe Lady Gaga and Justin Bieber just watched Hoarders. Maybe that's what caused the throwing up.
That would do it.
Oh, ugh, boy.
So gross.
Hey, I want to talk about bands. I want to talk about Green Day, who has a new album out right now. Called Uno.
Hey, are they going to tour to promote their new record?
They are, actually. They're coming. They have a sold-out show in Sacramento.
Aren't all their tour dates canceled?
No. Their immediate...
lead singer's going to Skype in?
No. Because he went to rehab. But rehab is normally 30 days. Their actual tour doesn't start until like 45 days after this happened. Mm-hmm. So he will basically all they canceled were TV appearances, like Jimmy Kimmel Live, and you know, here, there, and everywhere. You know, they're not going to be on live with Michael and Kelly or whatever. It would be great in the morning, wouldn't it? You turn it on, Green Day's there, doing it.
I mean, I'm not an expert in substance abuse, but one would think going on a concert tour probably isn't the best step right after rehab.
I don't know.
Just gonna put that out there.
Yeah, so, but on a side note to that, I think a lot of people, when they have bad publicity, I'm a sex addict, I'm a drug addict, whatever, mm-hmm. become going to rehab is just a way to sort of deal with your publicity issue.
Yeah, and Green Day had canceled. They canceled the show in Italy a while ago, and he had claimed that he lost his voice, which he may have,
because of the heroin.
That could do it. That could do it. But he didn't lose his voice at the iHeart Radio thing in Vegas, and we've covered this before. But I wanted to bring it up again real quick. This is where he sort of gets upset.
Give me a fucking break. 1 minute left. 1 minute fucking left. You're gonna give me fucking 1 minute? Look at that fucking sign right there. 1 minute.
It's crazy, but it doesn't seem drug-addled to me.
Let me tell you something. I've been around since fucking 1980 fucking 8. And you're gonna give me 1 fucking minute? You gotta be fucking kidding me!
He just used his minute.
You fucking kidding me?
He does.
How
awful!
Fuck?
I'm not fucking Justin Bieber, you motherfuckers! You gotta be fucking joking! This is a fucking joke! I got 1 minute.
He turns British in there in the middle of it.
Did he become British, Jake?
There's a certain point where you get so punk rock, you become
exactly.
You become the Sex Pistols.
Yes.
And then he smashes his guitar, and in solidarity, the bass player starts smashing his bass.
Why not?
Because, I mean, yeah, what else are you going to do? and they walk off.
1 minute. God fucking love you all. We'll be back.
How awful would it be to be the assistant stage manager for that show? Sir, you only have 20 seconds.
No, yeah, that is. I think that the blame really probably lies on the stage managers, because I've been in festivals and stuff where when stuff goes off schedule, it's because there was no one there to say the sound check has to end now, mm-hmm. or like it has to end now, and the people just are kind of scared, and that's what happens.
Well, basically what happened was apparently they cut Green Day in half. They cut 20 minutes out of their set, so that Usher could have more stage time. Because we all know how important it is to have more Usher.
Now, okay, I went to the Usher concert here because I had free tickets, otherwise I would never go to an Usher concert.
Uh-huh.
I was floored with the range of people that were at the Usher concert, number one. I had no idea his demographic was so broad.
Oh, Usher's everywhere.
He also literally had sex with two women on stage during the show.
Wow, that's...
I mean, he sings a lot of baby-making music, but... He flew across the stage.
Does he do that Make You Scream song?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's when he had a lady come up, and she was in what I can only refer to as, you know, like sex slings? It was like that, but it's hard to describe.
Yeah, you know sex slings, right, Mel?
Sure.
It was like furniture, and literally the girl had a little skirt on, and her skirt came all the way up, and he put her hand inside of it, and like, people are going crazy, and there's kids there, and I'm just like...
Gross.
And the girl's like crying. She's so excited. I'm just, it was very interesting. But he did fly around a lot over the crowd at the Arco/Power Bounce Pavilion.
It sounds like the Spider-Man musical.
Pretty much.
Well, there's no rape in the Spider-Man musical.
Well, it's weird because Usher's music's changed so much because like everyone else, he's jumped on. He's like, oh, I can't sell records unless they're dancey. So like he had all his old school songs. And then all of a sudden it was all like techno hour. It was kind of funny.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you can dance, you can get away with anything. Just ask Chris Brown.
Yeah.
Mel,
yes.
We talked about this last week, but I wanted to get this in with you here because you are a former police officer.
It's true.
Wait, are you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mel is a former lady cop. So this involves Stockton's favorite son, Dallas Braden of the Oakland A's. And Dallas had an incident where someone attempted to carjack him in Stockton. Larry?
Yeah.
Are you shocked by this?
No. Stockton, okay. Stockton is one of the worst cities in the entire country. So I'm going to run for mayor, and I'm going to move to Stockton, run for mayor, and my platform will be like, we're shutting it down. Y'all, it was a good run. We tried, but let's be honest, it ain't working. Let's break up.
I actually think that Paul is friends with the mayor of Stockton, just on a side
note.
Who,
by the way, why the fuck would anyone want to be the mayor of Stockton? Like, they should interview her on TV, and I'm like, why the fuck do you want this job? And other people are running for her office? And then I deduced it's the only job available in Stockton.
It is one of them. You know, I mean, there's going to be work. So anyway, basically, this is the police report, and I'll read it to you, Mel, and I want to get your reaction. Investigation. I was working at the above location. I noticed a black and color Cadillac with paper plates pulled up to my location at a high rate of speed. I had CHP Officer Wagner with me at the time of the incident. Officer Wagner initially walked up to the subject, Dallas Braden, who exited the Cadillac. I noticed Dallas appeared to be upset and yelling at Officer Wagner regarding Dallas making several attempts to contact police via 911, but was unable to get through. I'd be pretty pissed at that, too.
Yeah.
I also heard Dallas saying, this was road rage, road rage. The guy just ran the red light. I could also see Dallas pointing at a dent on the driver's side of his vehicle. He continued to yell at Officer Wagner, saying, they kicked my car. As I was helping the other parties involved in the traffic collision, different traffic accident they were at, Dallas and Officer Wagner approached me regarding the incident. I asked Dallas if he had an immediate emergency, which he ignored me and began to tell me how the unknown subjects kicked his vehicle. I think it's an emergency to him, you know, not to the cop. But the subjects also tried to pull him out of his vehicle over road rage. I told Dallas that I would help him after I was able to clear my current call. At that time, Dallas got very upset and asked me if I knew who he was, which probably was not the best move. I told Dallas I didn't, and again, I would help him after I finished with my current call. He then shouted, I'm Dallas Braden. I'm a multimillionaire, and I pitch for the Oakland A's. I pay your redacted salary. That's why I hate you, mother. Redacted. I asked SPD dispatch for an additional unit to assist me with Dallas in my current call. While I was waiting, Dallas continued to yell, stating, I should have cut that mother. Redacted. It should be noted that I was not able to get a word in with Dallas because he was yelling so much.
He was very angry.
Now, the awkward part is at the end when he arrested me, he's like, can you sign this baseball for my son? Thanks.
At that time, another officer and sergeant showed up to assist with the call. I had Dallas step back over to his vehicle so he could speak with the sergeant. Dallas continued to yell and was very upset over damage to his vehicle. The sergeant made several attempts to assist Dallas, but Dallas refused to listen and said, redacted this. I'm out of here. Dallas then got into his vehicle and drove away. So now, Mel, as a police officer, can you break down where things went wrong in that whole thing?
You know, I think a lot of times what happens, especially when, you know, I think I had the advantage when I was a police officer, A, of being a woman, and B,
not being in Stockton,
of being a trained therapist.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think when people start to freak out, and officers do get trained, there's a way to sort of diffuse people and let them scream themselves out. But most officers do not have the patience.
So basically what they do is they go, sir, sir,
you need to stand over
sir.
There. You need to wait a minute. You need to stand over there.
What am I going to need for you to do for me, okay,
realized,
right now?
I realized they were on a call, but it sounds like a two-unit vehicle. So one of them could have said, hey, let me hear your story.
Okay, to be fair, they're police officers in Stockton, which is officially one of the worst jobs in
history. No, I get it. And they were on a call, and they were busy,
they were,
and this guy was
freaking.
They were
ducking bullets that were being shot at the 14
sir,
murders
sir,
going on.
I get it. But I deal with people who come in screaming at me, you know, every day. And, you know, you just... I had a lady the other day that was just going off, and I finally was like, you know, hey, I'm on your side, but, you know, if you need somebody to yell at, I'm here. And as soon as I said that, she was like, oh, I'm sorry, it's not about you. I was like, cool.
Yeah, you stupid bitch.
Let's talk, you know? And I think, you know, I learned that, you know, we had a mentally ill population where I was a police officer, and we trained our officers, like, what to look for and what to deal with. And I think in this situation, if somebody had just slowed down and let him say what he needed to say, then they could have started fresh. But a lot of times, and I'm not saying male cops, I'm just saying a lot of times police officers just want to solve the problem. That's how they're trained. They want to fix it. Is it an emergency? If it's not an emergency, I don't give a fuck. I don't have time. I have other things to do. And I think everybody deserves a minute, especially when they're that upset.
Yeah, when someone just went through a carjacking and couldn't get through to 911.
Yeah, you know, as somebody who called 911 the other week and was put on hold while somebody was unconscious in the other room. You know, you want immediate response, and it is scary, and his adrenaline was probably through the roof, and he was probably really agitated.
Was he hot?
And somebody should have taken a fucking second. I don't care who he is. I don't care that he's a millionaire. I'm amazed that he's still loyal to that fucking city and was even still living there.
Well, not anymore, because he's put his house up for sale.
I heard that.
Who's going to buy a house like that in Stockton?
I don't think he cares. I think at this point, he'll sell it at a loss and just walk away. He'll be like, you know what? Fuck it. Fuck you. I'm leaving.
I'll move it. It'll be my summer home, except I'll just call it my ghetto home.
your ghetto mansion
in
Stockton.
I'm going to go on vacation in the ghetto.
So, I always hate to second guess officers, because I'm loyal to my brothers and sisters, and I get it. And who knows if they could have dealt with it differently, but I would like to think that they may have been able to defuse the situation and let him be heard and then deal with it calmly.
Okay, now, other than the part where he asked, do you know who I am, what did he do wrong?
Because
that's another interesting question. Like, if I'm in that situation, if I'm in that situation and somebody tries to carjack me and I get away and I spot some cops and I pull over and I go up to them, I'm going to yell, don't you know I have a podcast? And
the therapist in me wants to say he did nothing wrong. He's a civilian who was really emotionally charged.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a way for the police officers who are trained professionals to defuse that. Of course, like when I called 911 the other day and I was on hold and they finally answered, I wanted to scream, you fucking bitch, someone might be dying. Why have I been on hold all this time? But I just very calmly said my name, said what the issue was, said the address, stayed calm. But I'm trained at being a first responder. I'm trained at dealing with medical emergencies. You know, I feel like maybe I'm a little calmer, but... You know, he's a guy who just went through a pretty traumatic experience. Like I said, his heart rate, his blood pressure, his adrenaline was probably through the roof. I don't think he did anything wrong as a human being. Yeah, if he had pulled up and said, excuse me, officer, I was just almost carjacked. I'll be over here when you're ready to talk to me. That would have been great, but who's going to fucking do that?
Exactly. So let me ask you this. When you're on hold at 911, is there some weird, like, elevator music, and then every minute or so you hear somebody, a canned voice comes on and says, your call is important to us. Please stay on the line.
You know, I was in high adrenaline mode myself. I don't remember music, but I do remember there was, you know, if this is an emergency, stay on the line. Thing kept going. I'm like, it's an emergency, so you should answer.
Well, to be fair, a lot of people call 911 and it's not an emergency.
True.
So, you know, that's going to be in their head a little bit, too.
But it was, you know, and then, you know, and they're so calm, it's almost unnerving, because you want to just blurt. You want to blurt everything out, and they're like, hold on, I'm going to connect you to fire paramedic rescue. And I'm like, just do it. God damn it, do it.
Right. It's like somebody comes up and says, I'm going to kill you, motherfucker. You're like, yeah, okay, whatever. And if somebody comes up and just coldly goes, you know what? When you're not looking, when you least expect it, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, you know, a couple months ago, I saw a drunk driver who was bouncing off of the curb and off of other cars in traffic.
Nice.
Oh my God.
And when I get that excited, it's hard to remember a plate in your head. And he was weaving away from me, so I was doing the plate in my head. And, you know, I'm like, Alpha Bravo Charlie 673, Alpha Bravo Charlie 673. And I'm calling 911, and the lady comes through, and I just scream, Alpha Bravo Charlie 673. And she's like, what? I'm like, it's a plate. Write it down before I forget. And she's like, what are you doing? Like, who is this? I'm like, drunk driver at this address. Oh, my God. And I was just so keyed up because it was so dangerous, and there was so much traffic, and he was just crashing into everybody. And I didn't want to forget the plate, and I didn't want to write it down while I'm holding my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I was already driving dangerously with a phone in my hand with a drunk driver on the road, and I just started screaming at the poor dispatcher.
So what were you doing in Lodi?
Buying cocaine. Uh-huh.
Where was this drunk driving going on?
Fair Oaks and Watt. Right by my neck of the woods.
Shocker.
But I'd never seen, I mean, he was like, hitting the curb and like bouncing off and then hitting the cars to his right and then coming back and bouncing into the curb. It was amazing.
All right. Well, let's get to this. It's the original segment on our show. It's time for
Cool
Tool. Whoa. All right. First up in Cooler Tool, CM Punk for punching the fan in the face. Mel, let's start with you. CM Punk.
I do not advocate violence. So while I totally understand why he did it and think I might have done the same thing in the same situation, I have to say Tool because you don't hit people when you're a professional performer no matter what.
Okay. Arjun, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Cool, thinking that the dude is on some Andy Kaufman level shit right now.
He's like that meta in his performance.
Totally. And then this was just part of the show. And like, even if that guy didn't know he was in on it, he's in on it now.
Right. Performance art. Larry.
Tool, because I just think fake wrestling is so weird.
Okay. He's cool, because if anybody gets pushed in the back of the head three times like that, they're probably going to turn around and swing, unless they're a giant pussy. That's really, and I don't care if you're male or female, somebody's doing that to you, you're going to turn around and you're probably going to swing on them, because this guy showed no signs of stopping. So, yeah, good for him. One to the face.
Yes.
Face
off.
Up next, Cooler Tool, Green Day for ranting about one fucking minute. Larry, let's start with you.
Tool, I understand being frustrated, but one, complain about it doesn't solve the problem, and two, like, get over yourselves.
All right. Mel, what do you think?
Let me retract. Let me back up a second.
Okay.
Angry at his front. He wasn't like, no, people want to hear more music. It's about you're insulting me and my band.
Which they were.
But he wasn't like, I'm sorry, y'all. They're only giving me another. Like, you can be smarter and work it and get it and still get what you want.
I can't picture Billy Joe Armstrong going, I'm sorry, y'all. That's Clay Aiken. You're getting them mixed up. Mel, what do you
think? Don't hurt Clay Aiken's feelings.
I'm going to go Cool. Because at the end of the day, I just found it finally Green Day doing something that was really punk rock that they haven't done in a long time. I think they've become so commercially popular that I missed that punk edge. And this was punk fucking rock, and I liked it.
Yes, Arjun.
I would have to agree with Mel. As like I was watching it, at first I was like, oh man, why is he doing this? But then like I started getting really excited, thinking like, man, they're going to pull him off the stage. This is going to be awesome. This is fucking punk rock.
At the iHeart Music Festival, which is one of the largest media conglomerates in the world.
If you were going to do anything,
he's back
punk,
on the fucking map.
If you're going to do anything on that was punk rock at a festival like that, bitching about how much time you have left is probably as far as you could go.
It's true.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I understand him. I'm glad he is getting help if he needs help with that. I love Green Day. I've loved Green Day ever since I heard When I Come Around in 1994, I think, was the first time. And then when I heard Basket Case, I'm like, oh my God, this is fucking brilliant stuff. So simple yet so cool. So I'm a huge Green Day mark. I've seen them live on the American Idiot Tour. They're fantastic. So best of luck, best of health, and you're awesome.
Do you think they played Welcome to Paradise when he walked into rehab?
Oh,
Welcome
Larry.
To Paradise.
Rehab is not a wrestling event. They don't play entrance music there. I
In
don't
my
believe.
Rehab, they would.
Gay rehab. Oh, wait, that's going to be illegal in California soon.
It is.
Can't rehab you for being gay. Sorry.
I got a Facebook message from someone who I know who was so angry and wanted to know my take on this.
Huh?
Like, she was legit angry that this was being passed and said it should be an option for people. I don't know why your people, like, want to, like, propagate this. Do you believe that this, you know, do you think this is acceptable? Do you want to live in a state that, you know, bans therapists from doing what they think is in the best interest of their patients?
Yeah.
I wrote back, I was like, I really don't even know how to handle this. So I'm just going to have to say, like, I think we're just going to have to disagree because I can't even go into this conversation.
I'm feeling dizzy just pondering your position. So
well,
they've
met her like three times.
That's enough of that. Finally, in Cooler Tool, Dallas Braden. Just Dallas Braden. Mel.
Oh, shit. Don't do me first.
Okay, Larry.
Don't do me first.
I'm going to go Cool because the dude has stood up for his hometown for a very long time. He was just describing a carjacking at a fender bender, and no one would hear him. And you know what? At a certain point, as we've all learned from movies, especially ones in the 80s, every man reaches a breaking point. And that day was Dallas's breaking point. So cool.
Okay,
cool.
You said exactly what I would say. So everything Nate said and cool.
Larry?
Just like that.
Tool, because I think it's really mean to treat for someone that makes that much money to treat someone that risks their life every day not making what he makes in a week playing baseball. That
dude, I was treated worse by crackheads.
Yeah. Yeah, crackheads are mean.
I've never been called more horrible names than when I was a police officer.
You fucking cunt.
Yeah, oh yeah, daily.
That's like a hearty greeting.
You morning, yeah. You fucking cunt.
Yeah.
Arjun.
I would say cool. I think we have the beginnings of a vigilante superhero.
Your cats were just licking each other.
That'll happen. Yeah, cats will groom each other. They're friendly.
I mean, it does sound more like a superhero than a baseball player. Dallas Brady.
Yeah, you know, here's a joke for you, okay? Porn store. I was thinking that he was going to be Batman, but then I realized something.
Yes.
He's a pitcher.
Oh.
Well, Batman was a pitcher, too. Robin was the catcher.
Oh, God.
No, anyone that's gay, no, in that situation, Batman was a big, hungry old bottom.
Okay. So, well, I defer to
opposite.
I defer to your expertise,
straight
sir.
Straight people never get it correct.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I never will.
You straight.
No matter how much I study you gays, because that's what I do.
I'm going to create a board game for gay people called Top or Bottom.
You mean for straight people to play?
Yeah, for straighties.
Okay. Now, speaking of straight people, a penthouse club stripper ruptured the groom's bladder at a bachelor party after she slid down the pole and landed on top of him. Man claims that a stripper fell on him with such force that she tore his bladder during his bachelor party. It's a lawsuit.
That's hot.
Shocking. Patrick Gallagher was celebrating his pending nuptials with friends at a fun-filled night at the penthouse club in Richmond, Pennsylvania. Oh, thank you, Pennsylvania. As the guest of honor, Mr. Gallagher was pulled up on stage and given the full attention of the gyrating exotic dancers. Yeah, disaster then struck when the strippers shimmied up the pole, as we've all seen them do, and from a great height, I don't know how high the ceilings are there, but from a great height, says the lawsuit, launched herself down onto his abdomen. That's what his lawyer, Neil Murray, told Philly.com. Now, the exotic dancer has not been identified. The groom, he was in so much pain that the group had to leave the club, according to the lawyer. Oh, so basically they're getting sued for ruining his night.
And his bladder.
I mean, how do you have to be sitting in order for you to be directly under a pole for that to actually happen?
With your balls nestled right up against it, I would guess.
I would think there should be warnings on those poles.
Why would anyone
safety
that.
Zone.
Why would that be, like... I don't know. I mean, I've most in my experience, men say that their junk is fairly sensitive. Why would you think slamming into a guy's junk would be a turn on?
Well, it was his bladder, so it was above his junk. She didn't slam into his junk.
I think she was aiming for lap junks. Anything at that much pressure? Why would you want to slam onto a guy's lap? Anything?
Maybe she's into bladder busting. It's a new fetish.
Even over the weekend, we were performing, and I smashed groins with one of the other performers in the show.
yeah,
and we
did.
Both still hurt after the show was over. I was bruised on my pubic bone.
You were bumping a lot.
Whose groin did you bruise?
Brian Krall and I were football players who were doing a different technique to tackle in the scene. It's all very hard to explain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but first we bumped chests and then we bumped uglies.
Sure. Well, I understand that Brian Krall has a tiny penis and large balls. That's what
I told Mel she might be pregnant after.
I know, knowing Brian Krall.
He's very fertile. I don't know if they can penetrate denim, but...
He should sell his sperm to, like, sperm clinics because women spend a lot of money to try to get them some A-grade sperm.
Well, define A-grade sperm. Not to offend Brian or anything.
That's mean.
But, you know, I mean, he is a small business owner and a comedian, but...
Women love the funny guy.
And he's...
They
he's,
say that, but that's
he's a pretty
bullshit.
Good looking dude.
He's not
that
bad
is bullshit.
He needs to get over the crush on my boyfriend, however.
What?
He has a crush on my boyfriend.
Who doesn't? Adam's awesome.
You know who doesn't?
He kind of is.
Eric in Portland. He does not have a crush on Larry's boyfriend.
No, why does everyone hate my boyfriend?
I don't hate your boyfriend.
Literally, Adam posted a new picture of his haircut, and Brian Krall posted in like 42 seconds, young.
Did you say a nude picture of his haircut?
A new picture.
Okay.
Yes, nude picture. I'm like an acapella except for clothes.
So, anyway, this guy is suing the club for at least $50,000 to cover his medical costs.
That's not too much.
His artificial bladder.
Humiliation and mental anguish. How about this for humiliation? How about you don't go to the press and talk about it?
I know, seriously, it's pretty humiliating to have your bladder bursted publicly.
public humiliation in the press. If you're going to do that, you have to do a butt-chugging story. I felt so bad for that fucking kid. I don't even know what butt-chugging is. How could you say butt-chugging into a microphone?
That was
so awful.
I felt worse for his lawyer. I really did. That
Colonel
was the most
Sanders?
That was the most ridiculous thing, and it happened just outside of Memphis. So
his lawyer is a douche because he called one of the reporters sweethearts. So now I hate him.
Oh, okay. He's not a douche. He's just a Southern gentleman. That's just how they are.
Lame.
You know how gays like different top bottom roles like that? It's just how they are. You can't judge.
Yeah, well, his client's a butt chugger.
Alleged.
That's homophobic. I would really like to thank the butt chugging trend for introducing that term into our vocabulary.
Yes,
now. Sure.
It's an important word in our vernacular.
Freaking butt chuggers.
How do you spell that, with a hyphen or no hyphen?
I think it's just one word.
Although, then you can say it hyphy and put it.
I don't know that I would say that.
Butt chug.
Speaking of
buttchug.com, can we need to get that right now.
Yeah, can you see if that's available? I will buy it on
the
spot.
Please.
speaking of butts, since you brought it up, boxer Orlando Cruz says he is a proud gay man.
Yay.
He's a featherweight. He's the 2000
That's homophobic. So, oh wait, never mind.
He is a 2000 Puerto Rican Olympian. Wait a minute, Puerto Rico gets its own Olympic team?
Okay, this is a really big deal, because when I lived in D.C., there's a very big movement in D.C. that recognized, because Puerto Rico as a territory doesn't march with the United States. Other territories do and don't. It depends on how they were their treaty with the United States. But in D.C., there's a very strong movement to try to be recognized as an independent nation.
Oh, the independent nation of Puerto Rico?
Well, Puerto Rico originally was, because the agreement they're like connected to, but they're not governed by.
Yeah, how's that working out for them? Yeah, go ahead and stand on your own. Go ahead and hang out.
Have you been to Puerto Rico? It's kind of nice.
Well, it is, because they're a territory of the U.S.
Well.
How's Haiti doing? How are they working out?
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Blame the French. You want to talk about how progressive Europe is? I give you Haiti.
Haiti's not in Europe.
Their policies in support of Papa Doc led to literally awful, 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 awful things.
What if
I used four awfuls to emphasize my
point. You did. It's true. Anyway, this guy is a fringe contender as a professional fighter. He's done something that's very unusual in boxing, or really any professional sport. He publicly announced that he is gay. He's 31.
He's playing, which is still pretty big.
He is the first openly gay fighter. He released a statement that called himself, quote, a proud gay man, much like Lance Bass did. You know, same thing. He said, I developed physically and mentally to take such a big step in my life and profession, which is boxing, knowing that it would have pros and cons, highs and lows in the sport that is so macho. And I kept this hidden for so many years. He is 18-2-1 with 9 knockouts. He's been a professional for 12 years. So, yeah, good for him. I mean,
I've got balls.
I've said this before, and I think you would agree with me, that it would be nice if more gay people in the public light felt comfortable coming out to be role models for teenage people who are gay, to go, you know what, there's nothing wrong with it. To go, look, I'm gay, I'm doing this, it's fine. And, you know, the whole thing is, that's the only way we're going to get past this. Is people need to step out and be brave and do it. And I understand it's a big risk for a lot of people. I don't think it's a huge risk for this fighter. He's 31. He's probably near the end of his fighting career. And I don't think anyone's going to turn down a fight with him because he's gay. I mean, we've moved past the point. We're 20 years past Magic Johnson. People are past the point of, oh, he's gay, he might have the HIV. I mean, unless you're Paris Hilton. Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's great that he felt comfortable enough to do that, and I hope it helps somebody who is dealing with that.
I hope he can really be a model for people, like in ice skating.
Sure.
No, literally, like, I know this is ironic, to show you how ridiculously sport agents are. Male figure skaters, who obviously are probably in one of the most gay-friendly sports possible, don't feel comfortable coming out. Brian Boitano didn't come out until after he stopped skating.
Right.
Because you won't get endorsements.
Which is
crazy.
I think at this point you just get different endorsements.
You get lube.
You get the lube.
Lube and male hot pants.
You get the anal ease endorsement.
Right. Which, that's part of the reason I love Speedo. Speedo stayed with Greg Louganis when no one else would. And that was back when people literally thought you would get AIDS by sitting next to someone.
Yeah.
They refused to waver in his support, which... one of the reasons I really like Speedo.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. And I would like to think that we as a culture especially in the U.S., have moved to the point where we can do that. And there, I mean, you said this last week when we were talking about this, about people complain about how the U.S., oh, we haven't gotten here. Ugh. And when you compare it to other places around the world.
Top 5%.
Easy. I mean, yeah, it's.
Go try being gay in any African country.
Yeah, it's not going to work out well for you. I mean,
sorry.
If you just go to Africa, you have a pretty good chance of getting AIDS from straight people.
If you exchange bodily fluids with them.
Well, sure, there's that.
Well,
if you're going to get
the
all
bus,
technical.
So I got the AIDS, so.
The AIDS bus.
I studied public health. I know how it is.
There you go. So, yeah, well, good for him. That's what I say. So, huzzah.
Yay, gay.
Huzzah, if you will.
I'm going to start a gay boxing league.
Will.
Can I take off my belt here?
Yeah, ooh. Of course you can take off your belt, Arjun.
This thing's very uncomfortable.
Shut up, you stupid bitch. Slap.
That's how we go.
If you need to take anything else off, feel free.
No, I'm fine.
Just saying.
You sure? Because this
I'm
might help.
I'm obsessed with this song. Gundam
Star. Shocking. You are. Gundam Star. You know what? We've reached pretty much the end of this fun-filled show, as we like to call it. You know what that means? It's time for Mel.
Small town news. Small town news.
Can we have small town news from Gangnam, North Korea, South Korea?
From North Korea.
Small town news style.
Open condom style.
What?
That's what it sounds like he's saying.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right. Someone else told me that too.
In one part, it literally sounds like he's saying it.
It means Big Brother
Open
is Gundam
style.
Are we going to dance when the chorus drops?
Oh no, because we're gonna move right into small town news in a second, but not before I plug our Amazon page. Hey, you know Halloween is coming up in just a few weeks. You can buy all of your slutty Halloween costumes at Amazon, and go ahead and do it through NateDarlingShow.com. Just go there, click the banner, and buy the sluttiest whatever you want to be for Halloween costume.
Do you know I got yelled at last year for being an asshole? There was a girl walking by in an M&M outfit, and I was like, oh my god, she looks like she swallowed the M&M, because she was such a fat girl in this sexy, slutty M&M outfit.
Aww.
And it just slipped out, and I was like, oh my god, she looks like she ate the M&M costume. And everyone got mad at me, but I didn't mean it.
Understandably.
She was a giant, she was the biggest M&M ever.
Maybe she was the almond M&M.
I guess. I felt bad, but it popped out.
Yeah. So that, if you want to do early Christmas shopping, that's a great thing to do on Amazon. So please, it helps support the show, helps do things like, you know, pay for songs that we play and bandwidth so you can download our show. It'll buy me a new tripod when this one gets broken because Larry's turned my tripod
into a cat trainer.
Larry's turning into a cat trainer. So yeah, NateDarlingShow.com and click the Amazon tab. Thank you in advance if you're already doing it, and please go ahead and do that to help us out. Now, Mel, I know how you love opinion pieces from the Press Republican.
I do.
We talked about Bells earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this isn't Bells. This is
as long as you don't talk about fucking Mr. Peon.
I will not. I have nothing new on Roger Peon right now. But this one is titled, Noises Can Be a Mystery or a Treat. It's by Susan Tobias. And she writes, I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I like quiet times. On a recent drive to Malone, Toby and I noticed that we didn't have the country music playing like we usually do, and we liked the silence. I can understand that, I mean, although I do like some country songs. Anyway, suddenly it dawned on me that we were just two senior citizens traveling along, admiring the scenery and greenery, chatting about this and that, and it was really quite nice. Lately, it seems like more and more things in our house click, buzz, ring, or just make noises in general. One day, we walked around the dining room and living room trying to figure out what that annoying snap was. We both heard it. It seemed to be at regular intervals. Now, Toby happened to go out the back deck, and lo and behold, there was the snap. Our canopy was moving just a little bit in the wind, enough to snap and be heard with the windows open.
This is in a newspaper?
Solve that one. Yes, it is. I was watching television one night, and I must confess, I mute the sound during the commercials. That was when I heard the beep, beep, beep. Now, where can that be coming from, I thought. A walk around the kitchen didn't reveal the source right away, so I went back to the living room and it started again.
Where's your sound effect? Who the fuck cares?
That's the whole point of this segment, Mel. I tried to ignore it, but the noise was beginning to annoy me. Up again and into the kitchen, I walked past my cell phone charging on the counter. Beep, beep, beep. It just sounded off. I picked it up and the message read, your cell phone is charged. Well, how about that? I unplugged that thing and plopped it into my purse. Annoying or helpful? I'm not sure. Now, those two experiences got me thinking about how much noise there is in our world today. In our home, the refrigerator beeps when the door isn't shut tight. The bug controllers we plug into the outlet snap about every 5 seconds to scare off the crawlies. They really work. The washer buzzes when it's off balance. The dryer chimes when the clothes are dry. The oven rings when it reaches the correct temperature I need for baking. The microwave keeps on beeping when it's done until I cancel the chore I asked it to do. Where does it all end? Where, Mel, where? When I was a kid in the 1950s, all I can remember is the natural sound of chirping birds, singing crickets, and buzzing bees. Are we really better off with all these beeping, ringing, chiming conveniences we have today? The answer to that question probably depends on how old you are. One last thought, as always, please be kind to each other. The world needs more kindness.
Oh my God. Help
us small town style.
That, bitches, that, bitches, is small...
That's not even news.
Motherfucking town
news. That's just
news.
Small town stuff.
That is like autobiographical.
It's cool stuff.
Not as bad as the Bell guy. I'm still annoyed at him.
Yeah. Same newspaper, by the way. You want a subscription. You want a subscription, don't you?
Nope.
Those are the opinion pieces. Tough talking opinion pieces.
Wow.
So that's going to wrap up the show. Thank you, Arjun Singh from the Public Access Show.
Thank you, guys.
ThePublicAccessShow.com. Also from the band Wallpaper.
Wallpaper.
Wallpaper's cool.
Wallpaper. They really are.
Very
butt
cool.
Chug.
Butt chugging wallpaper.
Buttchug.com.
I don't know.
If anyone buys that before I get home,
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, but Larry's checking that out. So we will we'll wrap that up. Remember, if you want to see the In Your Facebook show with me and Larry, it's the fourth Saturday of October. Every month, really. Mel, when's the next Lady Business show?
Third Saturday.
So you can get to see Mel one Saturday and us the next Saturday. It's very cool stuff. Sacramento Comedy Spot, 20th Street between J and K. And it's like $8, $12 for two shows. It's a good time coming out and say hello and all that jazz. So, yes, Mel?
That's all. Okay. I was going to say that I'm doing the podcast this week, but that might be a lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I'm not talking about other podcasts right now.
I might be doing a different podcast, too.
That is rude.
I know.
Podcast infidelity. You're like Hulk Hogan fucking other podcasts.
I am a whore.
By the way,
I thought we're in an open podcast relationship.
I don't know about that. No, it's fine. you know, the best part is the whole Hulk Hogan thing is apparently Bubba the Love Sponge gave Hulk the okay to fuck his old lady. So, good times.
Gross.
Ex-old lady, but there you go. Yeah, have you seen the Hulk Hogan sex tape? It's six kinds of terribly
terrible. I think
the
question is, why have you...
Well, I saw a little bit of the edited part. He basically apologizes through a good portion of it, which is kind of funny that a guy is like apologizing. Does that happen a lot, Mel? Guys apologize during sex? Really sorry.
Which bit is he apologizing for?
His little wiener.
He keeps saying stuff like, I really should be at home and I'm here.
That's always super hot and a turn on.
No, that's true, and he keeps playing with his hair, too, so there's that.
At least he wasn't, like, apologizing for not being able to stay erect or having a, you know,
I wasn't
whatever.
Paying that close attention. But anyway, that's it for this week of the Nate Darling Show. Thanks for listening, everybody. You have a lovely one. We'll see you next time. By the way, this is a band called King Tough. I heard this during the show Go On last week, and I'm like, that sounds cool. I'm going to download it. So here you go. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.